So please stay in your seat. Stay in the Zazen posture. Say a few words about Ehe Dogen's Bendowa, which was written in 1831, around the time that Dogen wrote the first version of the Fukan Zazengi, the Tenpuko or Shinpitsu signed version, the one that contains a bit more, which we recently studied in the study group, than the popular version. And what's interesting about Bendowa is we think it's probably based on conversations between Dogen himself and Koan Ejo, who became his disciple, and that this happened in the early days when Dogen was still a wandering monk. And in fact, at the end of the Bendowa, he signs himself as the Shamon, the wandering monk, Dogen. And he says in it that he doesn't have a fixed base. But aside from the historical aspects, which are intrinsically interesting, we have here what we could see as an elaboration of the Fuken Zazengi, a spelling out in detail of many of the philosophical positions that Dogen takes in the Fuken Zazengi. And then this essay, extended essay, is followed by 18 or 19 questions, which are almost like a catechism in which the challenges are spelt out and dealt with. Why do you just do Zazen? Why don't you do anything else? Other sects do it this way. Why don't you do it in the same way? And working on the Koan Ejo hypothesis, he was already a transmitted monk from the Tendai sect and had spent time studying Zen with a Rinzai teacher, not unlike Dogen himself. And therefore there's quite a fruitful interplay, and I counsel you, if you have time, I counsel you to make the time to read the Bendowa in its entirety. As usual, Dogen starts off very strongly. He says, "All Buddha Tathagatas together have been simply transmitting wondrous Dharma and actualizing Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, Supreme Enlightenment, for which there is an unsurpassable, unfabricated, wondrous method. This wondrous Dharma, which has been transmitted only from Buddha to Buddha without deviation, has as its criterion Jujuyu Zanmai, the style of sitting that we do. For disporting oneself freely in this samadhi, practicing Zazen in an upright posture is the true gate. Although this Dharma is abundantly inherent in each person, it is not manifested without practice. It is not attained without realization." You'll remember, I said before that Dogen's personal koan was, "Well, if I'm enlightened, why doesn't it feel like it?" And really this is exactly addressing that point. It's addressing pivotally as well the lineage, the importance to Dogen of the lineage, and the verification, if you like, of what Chris calls handed from warm hand to warm hand, the truth of the Dharma coming down in the practice, person to person, master to disciple, from Shakyamuni Buddha right up to Dogen's day and to our present day. But he is again making the strong statement that simply sitting upright, focused on the posture, focused on the breathing, letting go of thought, letting go of distraction, working to be present, is all we need to do. It isn't the beginning of a pathway that leads us somewhere. It is enlightened practice. He goes on to say, "When one displays the Buddha Mudra with one's whole body and mind, sitting upright in this samadhi, even for a short time, everything in the entire Dharma world becomes Buddha Mudra, and all space in the universe completely becomes enlightenment." So there's no gap. There's no difference. There's no importance for time. Simply sitting is enlightened action. Well, to go back to his question, why doesn't it feel like it? And he goes on a little later to say, however, these various mutual influences do not mix into the perceptions of this person sitting, because they take place within stillness without any fabrication, and they are enlightenment itself. If practice and enlightenment were separate, as people commonly believe, it would be possible for them to perceive each other. But that which is associated with perceptions cannot be the standard of enlightenment, because deluded human sentiment cannot reach the standard of enlightenment. So in other words, even though our action is enlightened, it doesn't feel it to us, because we're on the inside of it, and we're like a fish in water. The fish doesn't know that it's in water because it doesn't know there's anything other than water. He goes on to say a little later, Zazen is equally the same practice and the same enlightenment for both the person sitting and for all dharmas for which we read all phenomena. In other words, our enlightenment is our universe. It extends into and embraces our entire universe. And this can help us to understand the tension that exists in other religions between prayer and good works is irrelevant in the context of our practice, because the very practice itself is beneficial to all beings. This connects with what Maitre Guy has been saying recently about the first Bodhisattva vow. When we sit Zazen, we are already realizing the first vow. We do it every time we sit down. We can't see the benefit we are to all living things and all inanimate objects. Nevertheless, it is so. Well, there's a lot of meat in the Bendoa. There's a very good book on the subject written originally in Japanese by Uchiyama Roshi and translated by Shohaku Okumura. And Okumura himself did a series of lectures in the last decade in America, which, if you happen to have $250 lying around, you can get the sound tapes for. But you can buy bits of them individually, and I might just look into getting one or two of those just to hear his views on certain points, because he does write very compellingly. He writes a very clear commentary, and the little sample that I've heard of his talks suggests that he's in the same vein there. I'd just like to end by referencing something that he says in his introduction as a translator. For Dogen, the way is not simply one direction from starting point to goal. Rather, the way is like a circle. We arouse Bodhi mind moment by moment, we practice moment by moment, we become fully aware moment by moment, and we are in Nirvana moment by moment, and we continue to do it ceaselessly. Our practice is perfect in each moment, and yet we have a direction toward Buddha. It is difficult to grasp with the intellect, but that is the way that Dogen Zenji refers to in Bendoa. So, more encouragement for our practice, more clarity about what Great Master Dogen intended and meant when he talked about the wholehearted way. I want to talk today about the very first paragraph of Bendoa. After the Hanyu Shingyo each day, we chant the Shigu Seigan Mon, the Bodhisattva's four vows, which in my preferred translation run like this. All beings, one body, I vow to liberate. Greed, anger, delusion, I vow to subdue. Dharma gates without number,
I vow to penetrate. The great way of Buddha, I vow to pursue. I'm not sure that Dogen wrote directly on the four vows, so I was intrigued, if you like, to uncover them in this first paragraph. They're not in the same order. They begin with the last one. So Dogen says, when the Buddha Tathagatas, each having received the one-to-one transmission of the splendid Dharma, experience the supreme state of Bodhi, they possess a subtle method that is supreme and without intention. And I was struck by the way this relates to the fourth of the four vows, the great way of Buddha, I vow to pursue, simply because what Dogen is saying is that the whole of the way is encompassed in this one thing, sitting zazen. And then he goes on to produce a rather tricky piece of language, which I want to come back to in a few moments, which for me maps on to the first of the vows. This is the method. The reason this method is transmitted only from Buddha to Buddha without deviation is that the samadhi of receiving and using the self is its standard. For the enjoyment of this samadhi, the practice of zazen in the erect sitting posture has been established as the authentic gate. Jijuyu Sanmai, which here Nishijima and Cross translate as the samadhi of receiving and using the self, is what Kodo Sawaki used to call the self, making the self into the self, which sounds a little bit like one of those Chinese puzzles that you can never resolve. And yet, if you look at it deeply, it is exactly what we're doing. Zazen blows our pipes clean. Zazen, seems to me, is the great cosmic washing machine that gently and carefully allows us to see what we are and erodes our confidence, if you like, and teaches us that maybe we need to change some things. This isn't a conscious endeavor. It just happens completely naturally. The longer we sit in silence, the more we see of ourselves that we need to change. And that gives us the energy, the commitment, and the power to make that change. So in a sense, sitting zazen produces our vow to do better. We share our practice with all beings because all beings benefit the moment that we sit. Everybody we come into touch with directly, every action we take, and in a sense, the whole universe that we contain. And his use of the word gate is what triggered me, I think, to start looking for the four vows buried somewhere in this introductory paragraph. It chimes for me with Dharma gates without number I vow to penetrate. Not in the sense of studying them, but in the sense of making them a lived practice. And he goes on to say that if we don't make them a lived practice, we'll never realize them, we'll never make them real. Not for ourselves, and not for others. A little later he says, when Buddhas are constantly dwelling in and maintaining this state, they do not receive recognitions and perceptions in separate aspects of reality. Constantly dwelling in the state of zazen, taking zazen into our daily lives, tackles at the root greed, anger, and delusion. all the things that the second Bodhisattva vow tell us we need to tackle. And again, they're tackled almost subliminally. We don't, although we try to do better, we don't spend our lives beating ourselves up for not doing better. We simply let the gentle washing, the rinsing of Zazen deal with that stuff. And we find across time that we're less inclined to go off bang. We're less inclined to leave detritus behind us in our relationship. We're less inclined to insist on having things our way. And Dogen says, when living beings are eternally functioning in this state, aspects of reality do not appear to them in separate recognitions and perceptions. The effort in pursuing the truth that I'm now teaching makes the myriad dharmas real in experience. I'm going to say a little bit next week about the word dharma and the Buddha Dharma. So I'll leave that for now. And want to turn a little bit to this phrase, Chijuyu Sanmai, which I would call the samadhi of engaged self-acceptance. Which is to say that we know, we see what we are, and we accept and embrace that. Nishijima Roshi says of Chijuyu Sanmai, it suggests the state of natural balance which we experience when making effort without an intentional aim. And Uchiyama Roshi says, we can understand this samadhi of self-fulfillment and enjoyment as the samadhi or concentration on the self, when it simply receives and accepts its function or its spiritual position in the world. And the fundamental point here is it doesn't call on us to make conscious change. It's not demanded of us that we get into self-improvement. Simply seeing the best and the worst of ourselves is itself the lesson that erodes our strong ego desire, lets us become natural. And it does this, as Deshimaru Roshi used to say, naturally, unconsciously, and automatically. So please stay in your seat, and we'll talk a little about the Shobo Genzo Ben Dowa, with a particular focus today on the use of the term Dharma or Buddha Dharma. The phrase Buddha Dharma crops up something like 50 times in the Ben Dowa, and in fact in the Shobo Genzo Zuimunki, which was Koan Ejo's record of Dogen's informal talks, the same term crops up around 100 times. Both these documents written about the same time, during Dogen's wandering phase and in the early days at Fukakusa, as he was establishing his community. Now, Uchiyama Roshi says it's impossible to grasp the full meaning of these texts if we don't truly understand the multifaceted meaning of the words Dharma and Buddha Dharma. And he, and in his book The Wholehearted Way, which is a commentary on the Ben Dowa, delves back into the use of these terms in the Yogacara and the Abhidharma. And I don't think we need to go to quite those lengths. Perhaps we just need to link our discussion here to our own background and experience. I expect we're all familiar with the three treasures, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And in fact, we often recite a variation of the three refuges or the three treasures at the close of our ceremonies, as a sign of gratitude and veneration to all the Buddhas and ancestors. We say Ji Ho San Shi Yi Shi Fu, which roughly translated is, to all the Buddhas in the three worlds, that's the worlds of past, present and future, and in the ten directions, so that's north, south, east, west, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest, up and down. We go on to say Shi Son Busa Moko Sa, which is to all the bodhisattvas and ancestors. And finally,
We say Moko Hogja Horo Mi, which is to the Prajna Paramita, the Hanya Shingyo, wisdom beyond wisdom. So they're not in the same order. They're in the order, if you like, Buddha, Sangha, Dharma. And they're not quite the three treasures, but they're very close. The other scripture which we recite, of course, is the Hanya Shingyo, which begins Kanji Zai Bo Satsu Yojin Hanya Haramita Ji Sho Ken Go On, etc. And this is a commentary on the fact that the Bodhisattva Kanzeon or Kanji Zai or Avalokiteshvara is moving in the deep heart of the Prajna Paramita, the highest wisdom, the heart of wisdom, perfect enlightenment. So we begin to get a hint here of what's going on in the thinking, the connection between the three treasures, the Prajna Paramita, and the Zazen that Kanji Zai Bosatsu is doing. In Buddhism generally, Dharma with a capital D means the Buddha's teachings, but Dharmas with a lowercase d can mean a number of things, particularly phenomena, objects. In a sense, everything in the world is encompassed in the traditional use of the word dharmas. And Dogen uses the term Dharma and Buddha Dharma in both these ways, but being Dogen, as the study group have realized as they've looked through the texts, he happily slip-slides back and forth between these two meanings and other meanings as well in his search of a way to emphasize the transmission of the true teaching. And particularly he uses this Kanzeon Bosatsu sense of moving in the deepest wisdom, that is to say, the true method of practice of Zazen. In his record of his time with Tendo Nyojo, the Hokyo Ki, we read, in the Zazen of the Buddha ancestors, from the moment they first arouse Buddha mind, they wish to gather up the entire Buddha Dharma. Therefore, in their Zazen, they never forget or abandon living beings. Which is to say that the deepest Zazen includes all Dharmas, all living things. The boundaries go between us and everything. And in fact, Dogen goes beyond what we normally think of as all living things and includes at various points what we might consider generally to be inanimate objects, as they too preach the Dharma. In paragraph F, he says, at this time everything in the universe in 10 directions, soil, earth, grass and trees, fences, walls, tiles and pebbles, performs the Buddha's work. Now, on a practical level, of course, the earth, the soil, the grass, the trees provide food. The fences, walls, tiles and pebbles provide shelter. But he's not only talking about their practical value. He's talking about the interconnectedness of all things, the way everything in the world is the Dharma. And he goes on in paragraph G to elaborate on this idea. Grass, trees, soil and earth, reached by this guiding influence, all radiate great brightness, and their preaching of the deep and fine Dharma is without end. Grass, trees, fences and walls become able to preach for all souls, both common people and saints. And conversely, all souls, both common people and saints, preach for grass, trees, fences and walls. One of the things that really drew me to Dogen in the first place is his clear love of nature and his respect for the world that we live in. He goes on to tell us, Zazen, even if it is only one human being sitting for one moment, thus enters into mystical cooperation with all dharmas and completely penetrates all times. So the walls come down. Zazen rebuilds us without walls. Zazen lets us leak into the universe and the universe leak into us. He goes on, it therefore performs within the limitless universe the eternal work of Buddha's guiding influence in the past, present and future. For everyone, it is completely the same practice and the same experience. A little later, all concrete things possess original practice as their original features. It is beyond comprehension. Which echoes back to that idea that we never have an intellectual understanding of Zazen. he finally says in this section, "Now we have heard how high and great is the merit of this Zazen." Indeed we have. If Zazen is all things, if Zazen encompasses the universe, if Zazen washes us clean, connects us with everything, takes away the ego, reduces the impact of the ego, puts us in touch with our deepest selves, this is his message to us, a message of great hope. There are 18 questions and answers in the rest of the Bendoa, which I don't propose to deal with in these talks. They make interesting reading, but in a sense what I wanted to draw out was the way the picture of our practice evolves in Dogen's thinking in an entirely consistent and integrated way. I hope some of that might have become a little clearer. Thank you for listening.